football game isn't enough for you, Eagle Springs is the only area course always available for foot golf.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rain. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
I don't like fancy learning books. I don't like apple tarts. I don't like cozy breakfast nooks. I don't like modern arts. Well, I like farts. Yes, I like farts. I like long farts, short farts, wet farts, your farts. I like farts if you've got hearts.
Oh, I've got hearts.
Let's hear those farts.
How do I start?
Well, Peter, I will help you get your farting started.
Slimy choice. Slimy's decision. These youngsters. These young people. I did not even know that was going to play. I had nothing to do with it. I just walked in and heard it like you folks. You can tell the children in the room.
Yes.
Like they've never heard the word before. I will admit the sound, we've all agreed the sound is the universally funniest sound in the world. It is. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to a large morning show in the afternoon. We're glad to have you with us. It is the 12th of August, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Was it 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day?
I don't even know where to start today. We have so much that we could talk about today. Thursday, we got into this big discussion. Scott Sherman was here, and a guy named Chuck called because the topic came up about medical marijuana in Missouri and buying guns and blah, 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 blah. And so Chuck was right, and I was right, and Chuck was wrong, and I was wrong, if that makes any sense. Part of what we said was right. And we were off on some other parts. So what I'd like to do, and we said we'd have Scott look into it, but I don't need that because I wanted to know myself, and thanks to a couple of emails from listeners who said here, and I have the firearms transaction sheet. This is what you have to fill out when you buy a firearm.
Okay.
And it's federal. And I don't care where you go, this is what, and 11E, it's a six-page thing, and on 11, go down to 11 A, B, C, D, and E, here's what it says. Now, you're purchasing a handgun, or maybe any firearm, I don't even know, yeah, firearm, any firearm. Here's what it says. Are you, and they ask you a bunch of questions. Let me start with it. Your name, your address, city, county, state, place of birth, height, weight, sex, birth date, social security number, ethnicity. Are you the only owner? Are you a transferee, a buyer from an individual? Are you under indictment? Have you ever been convicted? Are you a fugitive? And then E is this question. Are you an unlawful user of or addicted to marijuana or any depressant, stimulant, narcotic drug or any other controlled substance? And then in bold letters under it, it says, warning, the use or possession of marijuana remains unlawful under federal law, regardless of whether it has been legalized or decriminalized for medicinal or recreational purposes in the state where you reside.
Whoa.
So it's pretty clear. You cannot legally buy a firearm if you smoke marijuana, and they can prove that you smoke it. And they can prove it with a medical marijuana card. So I know there are a lot of people who don't know this because they think, well, it's legal in Missouri. Well, yeah, statewide, it'll be legal. It was legal that way in California before they went recreational. But here's what, to me, here's where this is so vague and unclear and ridiculous and doesn't make any sense. Let's just read it again. Are you an unlawful user of or addicted to marijuana or antidepressants or any control? So the answer to that is if you use it at all, yes, it's unlawful because federally it's illegal. So whether you smoke pot once a week, once a month, well, every day, you are being unlawful and breaking a federal law, even though you bought it legally.
I have questions.
Yeah, I would like to follow up on one statement.
Okay.
Number one, what if I buy a firearm from another citizen? Do I have to fill out that form?
No. And by the way, you keep the guns you own. See, this is where it doesn't make any sense.
Actually, you're not allowed to possess, this is what I said on the air Thursday. You're not allowed to possess a gun if you have a medical marijuana card in Missouri.
No, you can't purchase a new gun.
And you also cannot possess one on your person.
Okay, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, you cannot.
Okay, I've never heard that.
Right.
So you can't do a conceal and carry?
Can you find that? Where is that?
I'll find it in the statute.
So if that's true, then you really don't want a medical marijuana card if you like having a gun or carrying a gun, because if Tim's right, you can't carry it even though it's already yours. Now, you can go ahead and own the guns you own. You don't have to turn them. Right. You smoke all the pot you want to, which is why this makes no sense. If a marijuana smoker is so dangerous, they don't want to sell them a gun, but, oh, you got a bunch of guns? Oh, so you can keep them. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, who's ever, like, say if I'm going to go buy a gun, right, and I'm smoking weed, I'm not going to fill that out honestly. I'm not going to say yes. I am.
Well, then, if you fire that gun and somebody breaks in your house and you shoot them, and they then determine from a blood sample that you have marijuana in your system, you're going to jail. Whoa. Because if you bought that gun and lied on the form, then that's a federal offense. It's a felony. You lied on the form.
Does that count as perjury of some sort?
Something like that. It's a federal offense. I know that. You have to answer these truthfully. Only, and if you don't have, let's say you don't have a medical marijuana card, you go, well, I smoke it occasionally, but how would they know? Well, they won't if you keep it out of your system for, what is it, 30 days or something, if they were to test you for drugs. And I would imagine a really good attorney would go, Mr. Phillips, it looks like purchased this gun right before he shot the intruder. Let's check him and do a drug test on him. And if he's got the THC in his system, boom, he's a user, and he bought it illegally because he lied on the form.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez. Do you have to fill... This is a form, obviously, you would fill out at, like, a sporting goods store.
I filled it out 70, 80 times.
All right. But, like, what about at, like, a flea market or a gun show?
I don't know that, but I personally believe you should have to. See, I am a believer.
I think a gun show you do.
Stricter. I think you do it a gun show. I'm a big believer in stricter.
Have you ever sold a gun?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Okay, do you have to disclose that to anybody? Do you have to let anybody know that you've sold a
gun? No, at the time I did it, I had checked with the county police, and I did not. Now, that was years ago, so I don't know now. Lots of things have changed. But at the time, no. I'd have to
do you
anything.
Have to keep, like, a record of the sale or anything in case somebody uses that gun for, like, you know?
Well, the where you bought it has that record. They have on file what the gun was and who bought it.
Citizen.
If I did it today, I can't answer that. But I have done it before and didn't have to do anything because I checked before I did it. I checked with a firearms dealer and I checked with the police. Now, that was years ago.
So that also said in there, any depressants, and just take marijuana out of that.
Right.
Here's what it says.
Unlawfully.
Well, here's the, are you, yeah, well, what they mean is if you're taking OxyContin and it's not your prescription.
If it is your prescription.
That's so not unlawful.
So that's, so you can, if you have OxyContin or Valium or anything like that.
And it's a prescription,
like that,
you're okay, which again is why this is so ridiculous, because you can be sky high on whatever because you have a prescription for it, even though you're abusing it and you haven't broken the law. It says, are you an unlawful user of or addicted to marijuana or any depressant, stimulant, narcotic drug, or any other controlled substances? Now, let me throw this at you. You two are addicted to nicotine.
Okay.
But it's not a controlled substance, is it? That's not considered a controlled substance.
No. You can buy it.
So that doesn't count. You can be, and here's the other thing that doesn't make sense to me. You can be a fall down, horrible, mean drunk. You can be drunk all the time and go in and buy a gun because it's not a controlled substance. There's no drinking license like medical marijuana. So you can be a nasty, mean, hateful, drunk, in a rage to kill somebody and go buy a gun because drinking is not a big deal. But, boy, you smoked a joint, can't have a gun. Can't buy a new one. It's just weird. And the whole thing is ridiculous.
Without reviewing the actual statute, I'm just going to review the editorial that was written, and I referred to this last week on this show, by the editorial board of the Kansas City Star newspaper. And I'll quote it. And the caller who called last week, basically
Chuck
said the paper was wrong.
Anybody said, I don't care what the paper says.
Well, and what the paper has said in their editorial, federal law prohibits medical marijuana card users from possessing or buying firearms. So you can't carry one, and you can't buy one.
Well, hold on. Then that's wrong. You can possess one and have it at your home. You still possess
it. That's not possessing it on your actual personal possession. That's ownership.
But it's not. That's what's so unclear.
You can own one. You just can't possess it or buy it.
Yeah.
Well, but it doesn't say what possess it means.
Well, possess would be on your possession.
They would say that. On your person, right. Out of your house.
Let's say it's cocaine and not a gun, okay? If there's cocaine on that table behind you, you're not possessing it just because you're in the same room with it. So why would you be possessing a gun if you're just in the same house with it?
Well, don't get mad at me.
I'm just asking.
You get all fired up. I'm just asking a question.
Can I just interrupt, Tim? Can you just move the mic directly?
Yeah.
You're pointing away from it. There you go. You're pulling a hat.
Yeah.
This is all.
You just sound clearer.
This is all so vague and unclear. It just is. And this is going to have to be cleaned up. It's going to have to be rewritten in a way that people can understand it. But I was reading examples of people and names of stores where the owner said that the customer went nuts because, what do you mean you can't approve me for a firearm? And they go, I'm sorry, you put down here that you have a medical, unless other states, you have a medical marijuana card. I can't. And then the guy will go, or the woman, well, it's legal. Yeah, statewide, but it's a federal offense. And we're a federally licensed dealer. We can't sell you the gun.
This is every
state. Oh, no, this is every state. Right.
I mean, I, when you say you need to clean it up, I think it's pretty clear. If you have a medical marijuana card, you can't buy a gun, and you cannot have a gun on your person, in your pocket, in your hand. You can own one, but you can't have it on your actual physical possession. Bottom line, it's a one-sentence statement.
Can you have it in your car?
Sure.
That doesn't make sense either.
Well,
if you're so dangerous because you smoke some pot, you shouldn't have it in your car. You shouldn't have it in your house.
Well, you know, if somebody found cocaine in your car, is it automatically yours? Or is it maybe somebody else who's in your car? In some states,
it doesn't matter. If it's in your car.
Yeah, you know, a car.
You're going down.
I'll tell you what. I wouldn't bet $100 on the car issue. I'd have to research it. But I know possession. You can't be charged with possessing something unless you physically are holding it, have it on you, or if it's in your immediate personal space.
People are charged with in possession of child pornography. It's not on them. It's in their house and on a computer, and they're possessing it, and they're charged with possession of child pornography.
Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, that's what's so unclear about this.
That's an excellent point.
None of this makes sense to me.
Well, so what are you supposed to do? Give up your sell your guns?
No, because it is clear the guns you already have, you keep. You just can't buy a new one.
But if you're keeping them, you're possessing them. And so we're catch 22 in here.
I know, that's my point. It doesn't make sense to me. And then here's another thing. This business that, you know, alcoholism is a disease. Let me ask a question. Why isn't cigarette smoking a disease? Why isn't an addiction to nicotine, which is legal, If you're addicted to alcohol and you can't stop drinking and you can't stop smoking, why isn't that a disease? No smoker gets a pass by somebody going, well, he can't help if he smokes. He has a disease.
They do say that. Alcoholism is a disease.
No, hold on.
Yeah, addiction.
I'm talking about smoking.
Yeah.
I've never heard anybody say, well, go easy on him because he smokes all the time. He can't help it. He has a disease.
Well,
that is a completely different
conversation. Like the addiction part is the disease, but like why smokers get a free pass, that involves like a whole bunch of lobbyists in the big tobacco company and all that. So,
under federal law, possession of anything, whether it's a firearm, marijuana, cocaine, whatever, under federal law, possession is defined as whatever the substance or firearm is, if it's on your physical person or if it's in an area that is exclusively under your control. So that would mean your home
and
your car.
Well, that's wrong, because I'm telling you, I absolutely have read more than one interpretation, legal interpretation of this medical marijuana firearms thing that said you keep the guns you have. This is strictly about purchasing a new gun. That's why, but that's why the possession thing is the wrong wording. It's, let me talk to Brian. Sorry, folks, but I just think this is interesting, and I think it's, if it's not important to you, somebody in your family who, you know, is a hunter or, you know, sports
shooter. Well, a friend of mine just got a medical marijuana card. I was going to call her later and figure out, like, what she had to do to get it, because I'm kind of interested by that. But I don't think she's going to go out and buy any, like, any guns in the near future or anything
like that. What state?
Missouri. She lives in Jefferson County.
Oh, she already got one?
Yeah, she already got
one. Are you kidding me?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, they're giving them out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. They have,
but they don't have places to go.
I'll text her and see if I can get some information
from
her.
They opened up the app. There's clinics open now. There's one open right across from the Galleria. I have a business card in my pocket of another one that's open. And when you submit your application, the state has to respond to you within 30. They have to give you your card within 30 days.
Wow.
Or tell you why you're not going to get one.
Yeah, let me find out where you go.
There's already 5,000 people in Missouri who already received their card.
Well, I don't want one. I'll tell you why I don't want one. I don't like this gun thing, and I don't want to cause myself any problems if I decide to go. I can't imagine maybe ever again buying a new gun. I have plenty. But for somebody who is still buying guns, it's going to be an issue. And the other thing is, you think, well, just because I don't have a medical marijuana card, I smoke it a lot, but they won't know that. So I'm going to put down here, know that I am not a user of an, yes, you are. And if there's ever blood taken after an incident, you're going down because it'll show up in there. What's the duration? Like THC, it's like 30 days or something.
No. It's way longer than that. I think it's like 12
weeks.
I thought
it was 30.
12 weeks?
Yeah, it stays in your system. Yeah, it stays in there for a long time.
I thought it was 30 days.
Yeah. No, it's not 30 days.
Oh, yeah, it's not 12 weeks.
It's way longer than 30 days.
Okay, Mr. Head of Research?
Well,
how long? You can find out.
Actually, a hair follicle test stays in there. A hair follicle test would stay in there up to 4 months.
Yeah. Wow.
But 30 days.
Oh, yeah. Blood. Okay, sorry.
Urine and blood would be 30
when
days.
when you get drug tested, they don't pull your hair. They take a blood sample.
You go buy a cleansing kit to get it out of your system the day after you smoke it.
There are people that I know. Work. Oh, I know people that
not
do
all
that.
Of them work.
I know people who've used them and it's worked for them.
Well, folks, this is worth talking about because it's coming. I mean, it's already here.
Do you want to talk to Brian?
Yeah. Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. How you doing?
Yeah, no, fine. I had two questions. So some of these drug test places, they're starting to test for the drug, what Tim was talking about. They can detect the chemicals that wipes your system clean,
which is
pretty interesting.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny. And then secondly, the gun thing. I guess I had three questions. Is there any reason to have a CCW anymore?
Not in Missouri. and that's ridiculous, too. See, to me, that's stupid that anybody who's obviously not a felon or what can just walk around with a concealed carry. That's ridiculous.
And Illinois is completely different right across the river. Yeah, their laws are completely different than the laws.
I think it's insane. I don't know how that got passed. The reason to have one, and I have one, is if you go out of state to where there's reciprocity, another state that acknowledges your concealed
what
carry.
What does that mean?
Well, it means I can carry concealed.
No, reciprocity.
It means another state recognizes and honors our concealed. So I can go to Arizona.
Oh, okay, cool.
I could go to the 30-something states and carry concealed.
That's
the reason in Missouri to have one. But carrying in Missouri, Limey, you can carry. Tim, Dan, can anybody that's not convicted felon or whatever can carry one. I think that's insane.
I've had three friends in... I didn't realize caller slowly.
No, I was going to say Illinois doesn't reciprocate either.
No, they're weird.
I have my CCW. And another thing that's been kind of bugging me lately, I see tons of temporary tags on cars changing with like from April and January 2019 expiration. So we're either going to have an economic crash or I think it's because people can't pay their sales tax, I mean, have you seen the amount of expired tags?
Yes. There's so many on the road.
Are you talking about expired tags or temp tags?
Temp tags.
No.
I haven't seen
temp tags that are expired. I see a lot of them.
All the time. Yeah. I see the paper ones from Illinois down south all the time.
And they try to, some people will try and change the date on them something like that.
Yeah,
I'm actually involved in litigation right now against a former employee of mine who I loaned money because she did not replace, she did not pay her sales tax on her car for 18 months. Whoa. And she kept getting pulled over. And every time she got pulled over, she got pulled over in Olivet, she got pulled over in Baldwin. Every time you go to court, it's an $80, $90 fine every time. Mm. And so she finally, I mean, I finally loaned her the money, and then she didn't pay me back, which is why I sued her. But, yeah, I do see a lot, and they are pulling people over for it.
I don't see them. Yeah, I'm looking. Maybe I'm not looking. I'm just not looking for it.
Yeah, that's a change of subject, but it kind of irks me because I pay my sales tax, and I get to the DMV on time, and I just see so many cars, like, from April and January expiration, and they're just driving around.
And here's another thing that's going to be unique is that I know, not a lot of people, but I bet I can name five people that I either know or have talked to in the last year who put fake stickers on their Missouri license plates to make it look like they've passed.
You mean the little year?
Right. Because their car won't pass a safety or an emissions test, and they'll put the fake stickers on there. But Missouri is not coming out with new license plates.
I just got them.
I know. I just got a pair as well for mine. So
that's over.
That run's about to come to an end for those people who've been doing that for God knows how long.
Yeah. And which, by the way, is probably a good reason to change plates every few years, just brand new design on the plate. Brian, was there anything else?
No. That's pretty non-sequitur updates. But the CCW thing, I think it's an accident waiting to happen. People should have a CCW if they're going to.
Well,
I do.
Yeah, so. I agree. I couldn't agree more. I agree. Thank you, Brian.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you later.
John's been holding a while. John, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
This is our buddy.
Hey, I'm aiming the PM, guys.
One more thing.
Oh.
What's up?
Yeah, hey, one more thing real quick. Let me tell you this one thing real quick. Hey, let me say one thing to you guys. What do you think the Steve Schlanger or Steve Mizrani is going to be worried now, you know, because he saw what happened to Epstein there in prison there?
Steve Mizrani.
Nothing you said made any sense at all.
First they called him Steve Schlanger, who's a sportscaster. Then they called him Steve Mizrani, who's a dead appliance salesman. You talking about Steve Stenger?
Steve Schlanger, whatever, guys.
Stenger.
Yeah, Stengler. Okay. Yeah, do you think he's worried now because of what happened? Epstein and
John. Really, come on.
Yeah,
they're two completely different cases. Why would he? If you know, come on. I can't tell you what Steve Stenger's worried about. How would I know?
Hey,
that?
They're letting him stay out until the baby's born.
You know what's ironic about his sentencing?
Yeah.
Is that the one thing Rosenblum did do for him? Was he convinced the judge to send him to a prison in either Florida or South Dakota because a lot of people that Stenger represented as a lawyer are in prison now, and he's worried about retribution of them on him, and so she agreed to send him to a jail where none of his clients have ever been sent.
Good for him.
That's what, when you get a good lawyer, that's what you can do. What, John?
I was saying these high-profile guys, I mean, they get segregated from the people that they've either been involved with, you know, as far as, you know, in the court system or whatever. So that's why I was saying why he should be worried. Do you think he's more, you know, worried because Epstein was supposed to be isolated and look what happened to him?
Well, Epstein was a sexual was a sexual predator.
They're completely different. First of all, Epstein was going to prison for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Stenger's not. They're two completely different things.
And he's not going to be high profile in South Dakota or Florida. Nobody's going to know who he is.
No. Anything else?
Okay. Yeah, real quick there. Do you think with the shows that are on the air now, are you guys going to be being moving to a different hours?
No. On this station?
Yeah.
No. We will never be. If we're moved, we'll move out of here. We're not off the air. We're not going to be moved to other hours. They're not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
Okay, where do you guys go to? I'm going to follow you and keep talking to you. Thanks a lot.
Well, I can't imagine a show without you, John. Thank you. I hope so. Thank you. Yeah, he's becoming a regular.
He is a good contributor.
Jim is next. Jim, I didn't even give the numbers. I guess I should because apparently everybody wants to call. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Jim, welcome to 590. How are you?
Good afternoon, and I'm AM&PM.
Thank you.
I was in law enforcement for my entire, you know, adult life.
Okay.
I also had a federal firearms license and
primarily
sold to fellow officers. But there's a lot of terminology and you know, things that the politicians are throwing out that they claim will be the solution to everything. You know, they talk about this gun show loophole, which has nothing really to do with gun shows. It has to do with private gun sales. when you walk into a gun show, 90% of the people who are buying in there are buying from a dealer
right.
who has a license and are requiring the paperwork and the background check. The gun show loophole, if you want to call it that, is the private guy walking around. He brought a hunting rifle or some other firearm with him, and he might even have a sign around his neck saying M1 Garand for sale. And those guys could walk out in the parking lot and make a private sale.
Yeah, that, okay. I'm glad you called, because that's what I told Tim, and I don't think that's right either. People think that somebody like me, who is since I was a kid, has enjoyed shooting. They think that we just think everybody should have guns. It's not true. I don't even think I should be able to sell somebody else a gun just person to person without paperwork going through the system. I don't.
I tend to agree with you, and I do still, even though I don't have a license anymore, but I do have personal firearms. I have given some, gifted them to family members. I've sold some to friends of mine, but I still create a private bill of sale, make two copies. We both sign both copies, and we each keep one of those copies.
Good idea.
That's exactly what I did.
But it's an excellent idea. And I don't sell any guns to anybody I don't know, and I don't know what their background is. But that's not to say others aren't doing that.
Right, you or I, either one, could sell a gun or give a gun to a friend who, at the time we gave it to him, was perfectly normal. 2 years later, wife files for divorce. All of a sudden, they start drinking. I mean, they could snap and become a different person, commit a crime with the gun, which is why what you said is smart. And when I've done it, I did exactly. I have. The problem is I'd have to go find them, but I have the signature and the date and the model of the gun of the person that bought it, and stating that, in fact, yes, they were sold the gun. So if anything happens with it, they can't come back to me and go, okay. And I'd say, look, I sold it, and here's the proof. I'm not a great records keeper. That's my problem, so I'd have to really do some digging to find it. But it shouldn't actually be that way. If you really want to do things right, the transfer of a firearm.
You know that bill that they have about, you know, it passed in the House, it kind of lingered in the Senate. I don't have a problem with them requiring, let's say if I sold you a gun, we'd have to go to a dealer. The dealer would handle the transaction and the background.
Give them $10 and they do the paperwork.
Yeah, exactly. The only problem I saw with the bill is they purposely did not put any cap on the fees. So we could walk into that store and they might charge us $75 to do a private transfer. But, oh, if you want to buy one out of my case, it's only a $20 transfer or no transfer.
Exactly. Exactly. And on one hand, I go, who could blame them? I mean, come on. They're trying to, they don't particularly want you buying it from an individual. And you're right. I hate that they call it gun show loophole. Well, loophole. It's nothing to do with gun shows. I've been to gun shows, and you're absolutely right. The people behind the counter showing the guns, they're not going to just give me $50 and here's a handgun. It doesn't work that way. But they make it sound like it does. No, it doesn't happen like that. All right, I'm glad you called, Jim. Thank you.
Okay, have a great day.
You too. Appreciate it. Brian is next. Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you, Frank?
Terrific. What's up?
I am AM into PM.
Thank you.
This is kind of off the subject, but a funny thing happened. We were in a dance. I was going to throw this out to all of you there. We were on a dance, and a friend of mine, a female friend, she had gone to the restroom, and she's coming back out. And where we were located in this hall, we were like the opposite side of the dance floor from where the restrooms were. Well, we see her coming across the dance floor, and the further she gets across the dance floor, the bigger strutting she's doing. Like, you know, she just, like, she's all that, you know?
Right.
Well, what ended up being is where she had those pantyhose that go all the way to the women's waist,
mm-hmm.
and she had stuck her dress inside her pantyhose, and she had no underwear on.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Nice.
Oh, boy.
And she saw everybody pointing at her and smiling at her. She was like, oh, yeah, Mama still got it, you know?
Mama's got her dress up her crap.
So who was the lucky sap that informed her?
Yeah, we informed her. We didn't realize it until she got all the way to our table after she crossed the entire floor.
So when you say dance, are you a dancer? Do you go to like a lot of dances, like on a circuit or something? Is it country dancing, ballroom dancing? What is it?
it was just a dance at the VFW hall.
Well, you obviously are a dancer. You know how to dance, right?
No, not really. Just like to go out with my friends and dance a slow dance. I have no fancy feet work or anything like that.
Well, nothing wrong with that. Women like to dance. They love to dance. If you want to meet women, go on the dance floor. They do. And they love a guy that'll get out and dance. Even if you're no good, they like a guy. That's why women dance together, because they can't find a guy to dance with them.
True.
So you're smart.
Right. They don't want to sit there at the table all night, you know.
That's right. You're smart.
All right, with their dress and their pantyhose.
Hi, Brian. Thank you.
my question to you was, is there anything that just made you, something that you did that you just wanted to crawl into a hole because of, you know, something you did?
Oh, man.
Like, did you guys know this?
No, hang on. The answer to that is yes. I guarantee you, every one of us has had something beyond embarrassing where you wish right then you could just disappear because you're so humiliated. Oh. Yeah, we all have. And by the way, apparently a couple of people here are thinking of them right now.
Yep.
So maybe when you hang up, we'll figure out what they are. Thank you, Brian.
Okay, have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Right. So what is it? What was it?
Tim went, oh.
There was a, I was a radio talk show host in Lexington, Kentucky, and a boys' high school basketball coach was fired at a Catholic high school after he'd taken the team to the Final Four. And I mistakenly thought he was the coach of the other Catholic school in town who was black. Okay. And I ranted and ranted and ranted about, this is the most ridiculous thing in the world. 99% of the population of that school is Caucasian. Their starting basketball team is mostly African American. They go and recruit from other municipalities. They steal their best players. They put this team on the floor. They go 32-4. They make it all the way to the Final Four, but they didn't win a championship. So this racist-based fan base has now fired this black head basketball coach because he didn't go as far as they thought he needed to go. This is the most ignorant, ridiculous thing. I ran it and ran it and ran it for 10 minutes, and this coach was listening to the show. Mm. And he called my call screener.
Mm.
And I'm like, and I won't say his name. And go, oh, and as a matter of fact, he happens to be a fan of the show, and he's on the air right now. Let's put him on. Welcome, Coach Pinion. I just can't believe you've been fired after this great season you had. I think you're a fantastic coach. You won't have any problem finding another job. Coach, why did this go down? First words out of his mouth were, dude, you know I'm white, right?
So all that ranting.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's like somebody just let the air out.
I mean, I honestly had about a 5-second window where I was going to resign forever and never do another show and walk out of the studio and tell the guy to play commercials and play music and submit my resignation. Okay,
but what you're talking about, that's a whole, here we have two completely different things where we could say, because what you're talking about is something you said, misspeaking, where you look like an idiot.
Right.
And he's talking about personal embarrassment as dress stuck up in your pantyhose. Kind of thing.
Like walking around with your fly.
But we've all probably had one of each where you mess some information up and you went at it on the air like you knew what you're talking about. When you realize, oops, I completely got this wrong, you look like a complete idiot. And the other is just personal embarrassment that involves appearance or hygiene.
I took a bi-state bus to St. Mary's High School for 3 years, and I picked up the bus at the intersection of Rivas Barracks Road and Lee May Ferry. And there's a cemetery right there, and it's on a hill. And the bus stop is at the bottom of the street, and all the DeBerg High School girls that rode the bus, the DeBerg High School boys. DeBerg was a co-ed school. St. Mary's was all guys. So there's some St. Mary's guys in there. There's a bunch of girls on the bus. It was mostly filled with students that were taking the bus to school. And I was running late, and I had my book bag, and there was about 8 inches of snow outside. And I see the bus, and I'm come flying down this hill and waving maniacally for the bus to wait for me. And the driver, I could see him leave the door open. I saw him point at me like, I got you, I got you, I got you. And I'm running. The snow's about 8 inches high. And there was a headstone that was about 4 inches high.
Oh.
I hit that headstone. I went flying like a cliff diver. My book bag was unzipped.
In front of girls.
And they're all looking out the window. Why are we stopping?
How old are you?
15.
Yeah, let me tell you, when you're a teenager and you do something physically embarrassing in front of girls, it's the worst.
Oh, I've got a story along with that one.
How does this end?
Well, this ended with, First of all, I had to go looking through the snow to see where all my books had landed. I've got snow on my head, on my face. It's down my shirt. It's all over me. It's in my pants. I mean, I look like a snowman. And then I have to still sprint to the bus now that I've picked up my books. And I'm covered in snow from head to toe. And I got on the bus, and the entire bus is just hysterically laughing.
Girls laughing at you.
Oh.
It's the worst.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Limey.
So mine was, it involved a girl that I had a crush on in high school. I was about 14 or 15, and we had just got done with one class. We were working on a project together, and we got along pretty well. And I was like, oh, heck yeah, man, I am smooth. I am ready for this. So there was a bunch of stairs outside of our homeroom, yeah. And she was standing, I think, on like the first or second step. So I walk up, I was going to strike up a conversation with her, you know, put on Mr. Smoothie and all that. I tripped, and I headbutted her right in the boobs.
Well, that's not so bad. That's not bad.
At least there was some padding.
Are you kidding me? I still got to touch her boobs, but it felt great. But she was surrounded by all of her friends.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You go to jail.
She was surrounded by all of her friends, and you know what they're like. I think there was like four girls. They all just started laughing. My friend over there, Kevin, I remember, he's crying just with joy at me looking like an idiot.
But see, sometimes girls give you like the sympathy loving after something like that. They feel so bad for you.
I was so embarrassed. She didn't say anything. She just kind of looked at me and put her hands up and just had this shocked look in my face. I was like, I'm sorry.
I mean, did you just walk away? Did your face? Did you stick the landing or did you bounce off?
No. I'm talking face, just kind of like
in one right or between
into,
them.
It was kind of like I fell into the right boob and then slid into the left.
Perfect.
And she just kind of like pushed back and like land and hit the railing.
Sure, it was an accident.
Oh man, I felt like such an idiot.
That reminds me of the dyslexic drunk. He kept walking into a bra.
Or the dyslexic atheist who didn't believe in dogs.
Thank you.
So, Dan, we didn't know to ask you because every day of your life is an embarrassment.
Oh yeah.
Jeez.
I'm trying to think of something.
But you're a person who doesn't seem to ever get embarrassed or. You just
feel embarrassment.
You just kind of roll with whatever. I mean, you probably don't even have a story.
What's yours?
There was one time I was probably 13 or 14, and I had this girl. It was my girlfriend, and I thought I was madly in love with this girl, and she invited me to her house, so I got to go to her house. Her parents
right away,
were there.
When they invite you to the house, then really think, hey, yeah. she likes me too.
This is going well.
I'm there. We're there with her parents and her sister, and all these people are there, and her dad says, hey, Dan, come on in here for a second. He goes, I need you to help me, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. This is going to be my future father-in-law now, and he wants me to help him unclog the sink. The sink was clogged, and it was one of those double sinks where he was going to plunge one side, and you had to put something over the over the other side.
This blew up in your face, didn't it?
Oh yes,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
He says you need to hold this down, and I'm holding this thing down as hard as I can, and he went. A little bit, and then it went, and then I could not hold it down, and it just went all over me, all over him, just blew all over the place.
At least it wasn't like a toilet.
It was just water,
whatever was clogging it up.
But yeah, it's like, oh man.
I have two that I can think of where. I don't know what the word would be. Wanted to disappear, wanted to die, want somebody to just kill me, or wish I'd never been born. One was, like Tim said, on the air, and I was at a little bitty radio station in South Carolina. And I know it sounds like a joke, but I was the news director. Go figure. I'd never done a newscast in my life, and I take a job as news director. And when the guy interviewed me, he said, so you do news? And my answer to him was, do I do news? I just asked, because I couldn't lie to him.
Right.
And then he bought it. So next thing you know, I'm doing the news at 6 o'clock in the morning. And it was a station where, I don't know if these still exist, stations that go dark at night, they sign on at 6 a.m.
So the first
voice you would hear after the national anthem would be me with the 6 o'clock news. So I get up at 4:30. The first thing I did when I went in was I had a little list of people I'd call. I call the highway patrol. I call the local police. I call the fire department. I call the hospital. Okay, to see what happened overnight.
Right.
So I do it every morning, and I call the fire department. And the guy on duty there, I said, "Well, I said anything going on overnight?" And I can hear him. They have a log book or whatever. He goes, "Hey, 3 a.m. Lake Club, big fire. Yep, completely destroyed." I said, "What?" He said, "Yes, about 3:30 this morning." I said, "Thank you." I go on the air. Good morning, it's the news. And apparently overnight, about 3:30 in the morning, the Lake Club burned to down, a popular spot, because everybody kind of knew where it was. I got off the air doing the news, and I believe I worked 6 to 2 p.m. Before I even got off, by 10 o'clock in the morning or earlier, receptionist was in, so it had to be at least 8:30. And she came to the little newsroom. There was a little room and a door. And she knocked me. She said, "There's somebody here to see you." And he's very, very mad. And I walked out front, and he asked me who I was. Was I the news guy that had just been on the air? And I said, yes, I am. And he said, and he was huge. He owned this Lake Club, because obviously prior to being a bar owner, he was a bouncer. So he's just a huge guy. And he said, "You just destroyed my business." And I said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I own the Lake Club, and you told everybody it burned." That's a little town, little station. Everybody listened. You told them it burned to the ground, and it's fine. It didn't burn to the ground at all. He says, "You get back in that newsroom, and you tell everybody you made a mistake." And he stood behind me. I said, "Well, but the guy, the disc jockey, is doing his show." He said, "Then you interrupt him." And so on the intercom, I told Richard, I said, "Richard, I got to break into a song. Turn me on over here. I got to break this emergency." And he thought the president's shot or something. Right. So he's playing, Crocodile Rock. And it stops. And I said, "We interrupt our programming for the special bulletin." And I mistakenly said earlier that the Lake Club burned down. It did not burn down. It's fine. And now back to our regular programming. And they start the music again. And he stood there. He said, "Do it again." And I said, "I just do it again." And I mean, this guy was ready. So, we interrupt again. I did it twice. And he said, "When I leave, I want to hear that on every newscast till you get off the air." He said, "You better not have killed my business."
Oh, man.
And he left. So I called the fire department. And I said, "What in the world?" I said, why did the guy tell?" And another guy's on duty by then, because the overnight guy's gone.
Right.
So he goes to the logbook. He goes, "Right here, 3:30 in the morning, total loss, a shed across the street from the Lake Club." That's how they identified the location. It was just an old barn, but it said across. He didn't see across from. He just saw Lake Club, and that's how it happened. So, that was the one where I just thought, this guy, when I leave here, he's just kill me, because I just ruined his business. He'll have to go out of business.
Oh, man.
And the other one Dan knows about, the personal embarrassment, like bodily, physical humiliation.
Oh.
And anybody who says this has never happened, I think, is a liar. But it happened to me on the air, while I was on the air. And I lost my bowel control. And
no.
I liquid pooped.
Sharted.
Oh.
I mean, right into my pants, through the pants, onto the seat.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Who was in the studio with you?
All of us.
Everybody.
Did everybody know? Did you keep it quiet?
I just sat in it, and I wouldn't get up because I'm sitting in my own poop.
I had khaki
pants on. Makes it worse. I couldn't believe I had black pants on. So I'm thinking, if I sit on it and smother it, nobody will
You'll
smell
be
it.
Okay.
No, they won't smell it. So I just stayed still. And went till the show was over.
How much more show was left?
Oh, I think a half an hour.
Oh. Like,
No. It was not 5 minutes. It was, so when it was over, okay, have a great Monday or whatever. And everybody's picking up their stuff to leave. And I go, "I'll be out in a minute. I've got just like, I'm putting some papers together."
Yeah.
So after everybody had left, I got up, and then I went out the door, and I looked left, and I looked right, and ran to my car.
Oh.
And just, now, whoever came
Why
in
you
next...
Why would you go to the bathroom first?
Oh, no, no, no.
No, you need to get out of that situation.
No, you got to go to the bathroom and get in, at least get rid of your underwear.
You know what I did do? Now that you mention it, there was a bathroom close enough. I went, and I pulled all the paper towels from the... Just all of them in a big clump, and ran out the door to my car, because I remember I sat on them.
Oh.
But whoever walked in there next, the minute they hit the door, whoo, whoa, and if they walked over to the chair, which of course was like a tan color, now it's like, cloth. No. This was the worst. This is the worst. The worst.
You had to burn it.
And I was just so embarrassed. But you know, the next day, nobody ever said, hey, man, after you left yesterday, nobody said anything. So
nobody's going to mess with
nobody
you.
Nobody said, well, why not? But that was, I actually got in the car thinking I can't go back. I cannot go back to work.
Real quick, so going back to the medical marijuana card, if we can change subjects back to that.
Sorry.
Apparently there was, and this is, my friend texted me back that there was this event in Festus this weekend, and it's sponsored by this Peace of Mind Facebook page. And it says over this weekend, 157 patients were approved for their medical marijuana card at the Peace of Mind Collective in Festus.
Okay.
And they're doing it again on September 6th. And I think, unless I'm wrong, it's just like this coach or like one of those medical buses, you know, like the donate blood ones. Mm-hmm. One of those, they just go around, they check and see if you want a card, and then boom, you're done.
And by the way, for anybody who doesn't know this, the whole medical marijuana thing is nothing but a joke. You know how you get a medical marijuana card? Because I know people who've had them in California and a couple other
states. Isn't you just ask them to, like, you probably. Say you've got
somebody who is authorized, doctor, whatever, says, so what's the problem? You go, I have a constant headaches. Okay, medical marijuana card. Next, honest to goodness, my leg hurts all the time. Medical marijuana. I have a sore throat and I've got acne. Medical marijuana. Seriously, nobody that I think gets turned down. That's the joke of it. That's why it's such a joke.
Great.
In the same way that riverboat gambling was a joke. You go out in the water, now you're not in the water, you're docked. Now you're not even docked, you run a canal. It's a joke. Mm-hmm. I just might just go on and make it recreational because that's what's common. This is just the doorway to that. But medical marijuana, I've known that I can think of three people who had it. And I said, how'd you get it? And they laughed. Uh-huh. And the one guy seriously said, I just have headaches, it won't go away. I said, do you really? He goes, no, I don't have headaches. But just tell them that, and they'll give you a card. But that's how we're doing. But folks, you folks who are doing what Limey said, you just need to know, and a lot of people, it won't matter. They don't care. You will not be able legally to walk in and buy a new firearm. You won't. You can lie if you want to take that chance. I wouldn't do that. So you need to know that. All right, we have to do a quick bit of business. Josh Bauman. Is he in today? He's in.
Yes.
Okay.
He's here.
I know he was at the lake this weekend. He's here to talk about some tech stuff. This is the only thing I can contribute. I got a new mouse for my computer. My daughter was over and she went down to use my computer. She said, Dad, your mouse, it doesn't even work. And I said, well, it kind of works. She says, no, you can't scroll. So I went out and got me a Bluetooth. I know this makes me say, you know, right. They've been around for 15 years. I got a Bluetooth mouse. Woohoo! Wireless. So now I can have a good mouse. So that's my contribution. But he'll be here if you have a question, an issue, if there's something you're thinking about buying, a television, a computer, a tablet, a phone. He's the guy. And he seems to know what he's doing. So he'll be here in the next hour. First Community Credit Union. Hope you enjoyed the yard sale where we have now sold an airplane and a $4,000 watch. Huh? How about that? If you think yard sale is just for people selling old barbecue grills and beat up refrigerators, nah, got all kinds of stuff on the yard sale. Speaking of that, you know, refrigerator is one of the fastest moving items. If anybody sells a used refrigerator, it goes like that because there's always somebody looking for a second refrigerator to put in. We have one in the garage. We've always had a second refrigerator. The reason I mentioned the yard sale, of course, because it's sponsored exclusively by First Community Credit Union. It's a great place to bank. I know you bank somewhere, probably. Well, you know you do. I can't imagine there are three people listening who don't bank somewhere. So why not make that somewhere First Community Credit Union? Because whatever you're doing at your bank, they can offer you those services. And we, those of us who are members, think that they offer... Well, they offer a lot more, meaning they're very competitive with their rates. They're extremely friendly because it's owned by the members, so you're kind of their boss. First Community Credit Union, there are over 40 locations. You can, of course, bank online. It's an easy-to-navigate website. And they are the largest credit union in the St. Louis area and proud exclusive sponsors of the yard sale. Please tell them your AM and the PM and thank them for the yard sale. That's what keeps us in business. First Community Credit Union. FirstCommunity.com. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. Stocks are tumbling again on Wall Street due to less than good economic news. The Dow Jones Industrial Average sank 391 points today as the 10-year Treasury yield fell to 1.63%. Federal charges are being filed against a friend of the shooter.